And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Hi, I'm Roy Morgan. Let me see. What do I want to start with? Okay. There is one thing about aloe vera that I meant to mention last week that I think that would be potentially hugely beneficial to those that have problems with blood sugar or diabetes. So, as always, I am not trying to make this into a panacea conversation where I'm saying this is all you do. Obviously, in America, we have, well, actually, it's not America, it's a world. We all have a problem with sugar. There's way too much of it. We consume too much of it. One thing that I read this week, there was a survey, and they tried to look at the number of times a day that blood sugar would spike in a diabetic, and the average number is 11. So I thought about that for a little bit. I said, okay, here's what that would look like, or here's potentially what that could look like. In the first place, you could actually wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I would like to have a cup of coffee, but I want to put that International House of Pancakes, I'm just joking, coffee creamer in there. It's got some sugar in it. Okay, but when you drink that, any time that you ingest sugar, you're going to cause a spike in your blood sugar, which is going to lead to a spike in insulin. Okay? The problem is, sugar is so sticky and so toxic, it just kind of gums everything up. That's a tremendous oversimplification, but that's the way it is. And then you say, you know what? My doctor told me I need to have small, frequent meals and snacks. And so by the end of the day, you've had exactly 11 separate unique touches of either food or liquid sugar that's caused your body to cause a spike in insulin and glucose. Man, that's a disaster. It really, really is. Okay, what would happen? See, that's one of the reasons why when people do a carnivore diet, man, do they lose an incredible amount of weight. All the fluid comes off of them. But there's something about transitioning from a high-sugar carbohydrate diet where everything you eat is full of starch, which that's grains. If somebody says, you know what, I'm healthy, Dr. Morgan, I have a fruit smoothie, and they start describing it to me, I'm thinking, man, you're starting your day with like a boatload of sugar. Anyway, let me get to this right here, because I find this so interesting. If you want to know the book that I got this from, this is called Volume 1, Second Edition, The Textbook of Natural Medicine, is written by, or edited by, Joseph E. Pizzorno, Jr. and Michael T. Murray. The publisher is Churchill Livingstone, in case you want to know. Okay, last week I talked about aloe vera, but I never got to this one. Actually, this might be one of the best applications for the person that's listening. So just let me just sort of read these small studies to you, and you tell me what you think about it. Okay. They know that aloe vera, which you know as well as I do, is like a little cactus. Actually, it's a great cactus. You put that in your house, and guess what? You got your own personal air filter. It removes the toxins from the air and the carbon dioxide. And, oh, rats, it gives off beautiful life-sustaining oxygen in return. No, that's a good thing, obviously. So they noticed that when they do studies on mice, that lo and behold, aloe vera, it exhibits a blood sugar lowering effect. It helps to normalize blood sugar. Even in mice or rats that are genetically bred to be diabetic, it even improves them. So, based on that information, they did a very small human study, and I know it's a small one, but just kind of hear me out here. In this small study, they took five patients that were non-insulin dependent diabetics. And what they had, they should have been on insulin. But anyway, once I read the numbers to you, you'll say, well, they should have been on insulin or some drug. Okay, so five patients with non-insulin-dependent diabetes. Here's what they did. They ingested half of a teaspoonful of aloe vera, four times a day for 14 weeks. So what's the length of time? Well, a hair over 3 months. What do? They took aloe vera 4 times a day, a half a teaspoon. Now, I tried to look it up and I couldn't find it. I'm assuming they took the aloe vera gel. I could be wrong, but that's what I think they did. Okay, now listen to this right here. This is almost going to be borderline unbelievable, and when you hear me say this, you're going to say there's no way. But then again, maybe you have diabetes. Maybe you're a curious person. Maybe you want to use something natural that God has created or designed that may not have toxic side effects. I mean, what is the absolute worst thing that could happen to you if you take aloe vera? Well, there may be one or two people on the planet that have a severe allergy to it. Well, I'm not telling them to do that. And there may be a few people that take way too much of it, and the net result is they have to run to the bathroom to, you know, have a bowel movement. Well, that's not the worst thing that could happen. So here's what happened right here. 5 patients with non-insulin-dependent diabetes, they took a half a teaspoon of aloe vera 4 times a day for 14 weeks. You got that? All right, here's the punchline. Fasting blood sugar in every patient fell from a mean, that means an average, of 273 to 151. We're talking about they're measuring the blood sugar or the glucose. So what they do is they measure glucose in milligrams per deciliter. Folks, if there was a drug, a liquid drug, and they could give you a half a teaspoon 4 times a day, and it would take your blood sugar from 273 down to 151 in 14 weeks, it would be the top-selling drug of all time. They would say this is the most amazing breakthrough. I'm really not that good at math, but let me see. 273 minus 151? That's like 122 points. Could you imagine what would happen to the health of a person if you could take their average blood sugar reading from 273 down to 151? Well, that's a quantum leap in the right direction. This is one situation that when your blood sugar on average goes from 273 down to 151 in 14 weeks and all you did was take aloe vera, that's huge. Okay, here's what the author said. And this one has kind of escaped me also. I'm still trying to study the topic. I'm sure I'm going to find it eventually, but I just haven't yet. It says the authors concluded that aloe vera lowers blood glucose levels by some unknown mechanism. That means they haven't figured out how it works. Now, I don't have the rest of the study in front of me, but I would venture a guess that aloe vera is extremely well tolerated. You know what? It also acts as a detoxifier, so I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if somebody maybe complained that they had some yucky, you know, stuff come out of them. But wouldn't that be a good thing? Isn't that exactly what you want? Sometimes when people take a supplement and they have a little bit of a tummy ache or they have a little bit of increased waste removal, that's not always bad, folks. Sometimes you might want to interpret that as sweeping the garbage or the poison out of the body, okay? Here's another one right here, and then I'm almost done with aloe vera. A more recent and a larger study where they had 49 men and 23 women. So here's what they did. Okay, here it is right here. I just found it. Okay, I want to always give you full disclosure and tell you how the study was set up. Okay, there was a... Where is it? There it is. Okay, sorry. Sometimes when the print is small, I should have highlighted it. That's my own fault. Okay, what they did was they took people that were diabetic, and what they did was they found out what would happen if we gave aloe vera in combination with a drug, glibenclamide for diabetes. So when they gave the drug alone, the glibenclamide, I'm so sorry, I know I butchered the name of drugs. There was no response. They really couldn't get the blood sugar to move. But when they gave aloe vera with it, which, kind of curious, why didn't they do the study like the previous one where they just gave aloe vera all by itself and found out what happened? So here's what they did. The patients were provided with 1 tablespoon of aloe vera gel. Are you with me on that? They were also given 5 milligrams of, I'm just going to say, glimepiride twice a day. And they had a control group where they gave the drug, you know, serving as a control. After 2 weeks, now this is 2 weeks, this is not 14 weeks like the previous one. After 2 weeks, fasting blood sugar decreased significantly in the treated group. And by day 42, what is that, like the 6-week mark? Yeah. That it decreased from an average, and get this, you're not going to believe what I'm fixing to tell you. I'm going to tell you anyway, but you're not going to believe it. So when they started off, their average blood sugar was 289. Folks, why don't we just round it up to 300? That is really, really high blood sugar. You want to have a stroke or a heart attack? That's the number one way to do it, is have blood sugar that high. So by day 42, and just giving 1 tablespoon of aloe vera gel twice a day, okay, you get the gist of that, 1 tablespoon of aloe vera gel twice a day. It didn't say how they took it, but as far as I know, they could have just stirred it in a glass of hibiscus tea and just drank it down, okay? So their blood sugar went from 289 on average down to a remarkable 148. Folks, that's huge. Now, and of course, what I want is, I want to study where they follow it for another 42 days to see if it changes even further. There's no way it's going to stop at 148. What if this allows a person with diabetes, their body, to heal where they don't require one new drug after the other, one procedure, another dose of Ozempic, which I think is a total disaster on every level. Not every level, but pretty close to it. Okay, while the drop in serum cholesterol was not significant, because they measured cholesterol also. They want to find out, did aloe vera do much to lower a person's cholesterol levels? And the answer was no. It really didn't significantly lower cholesterol. It did a little bit, but you know, not much. And you've heard me talk about this before, but one of the things that you look at when you have your blood work done is a marker called triglycerides. You know, that's a pretty good indication how much sugar you got in the body. So get this right here. Their triglyceride average was 223. Dude, that is way high. Can you imagine what your arteries and blood vessels are doing when you have that much triglyceride jam crammed in the arteries? Well, it's going to make your blood pressure go up because the heart has to work a whole lot harder just to get that blood pumping through your veins because they're so full of fat. Okay, so by day 42, triglycerides fell from 223 to 128. Technically, according to the healthcare service experts, that would be an acceptable range. I personally don't like that, but 128 is a far, far cry. That's a great improvement compared to 223. 223, you're asking to have a stroke. Your arteries are literally bulging at the seams. You don't have a good mental image of that, do you? Okay, you take a black water hose, lay it in the sun. It's going to be 97 degrees today. In the sun, probably be more like 102. Leave the water faucet on. Turn it on full blast and turn off the other end. See if that water hose doesn't become so swollen and so fat with water. You know what I'm talking about. You could turn the water faucet off at the house, but man, is there going to be a whole bunch of back pressure on that water hose. Anyway, well, that's what I wanted to bring to you. I meant to cover that topic last week, and I did not quite get to it, so there you go. Okay. The phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. If nobody wants to call, I came across this article that I found so interesting. And I think this has application not, maybe to everybody, but in a roundabout way it does. And so let's go ahead and go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Morgan. My daughter, I told you yesterday she's 19. That was my other, that was my son's age. She's 17. She's had acne on her face for a couple of years, I guess. But lately, my wife, we're the missionaries in Ukraine. My wife said that she's got, it's got to the place where her acne is staph infection in it, and it's, you know, oozing stuff out, and we're very concerned. Just wanted to see what your, what we could do.
Well, just for curiosity, what does she normally eat for breakfast? Or just give me your best guess.
Well, I think my wife cooks eggs and some kind of meat, that kind of thing.
But she's not eating grits, oatmeal, rice, pancakes, toast, bread.
Well, my wife makes pancakes, you know, half the time, so that's probably part of it.
Well, what she's got is, I know it sounds like an oversimplification, I'm not trying to be negative, but she's got diabetes of the skin. That's what acne is.
Okay.
So, there was a study that I read a long time ago. I think it's one of my favorite books by Dr. Melvin Werbach. But I like Dr. Werbach's ability to organize articles from a long, long time ago. So one of the articles was concerning the growing field of dermatology back in 1942, 43 and 44, and they did a survey on what happened with the cases of acne during World War II. Well, one of the things that happened is they just all miraculously, magically disappeared and went away. When World War II started, there was no more acne. Why would you think that is? That's because all the candy and the chocolate bars and the soda pop, it went overseas to the troops that were fighting against Germany and Japan. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. I remember my grandparents, they showed me their stamps.
Exactly. You're talking about being able to ration it out, right?
Yeah, rationing, right.
So that means the consumption of sugar went way down. So I know this is like kind of like just the brutal truth of it, but the number one predictor of all time on infections that don't go away is going to be the amount of sugar in the bloodstream.
Right.
And so if your daughter were to go to a medical doctor in the Ukraine, there's a pretty simple test that they could look at. It's called fasting insulin. It doesn't tell you everything, okay, but man, does it tell you a bunch. So when fasting insulin goes above the number 5, the higher that goes, it just creates more of a hormone disaster on the surface of the skin. The skin tissue becomes so weakened and you don't produce the high quality sebum, and there's a hormone surge where you start converting all your hormones into a substance called testosterone or dihydrotestosterone, and before you know it, everything's spiraling out of control. So the two or three things that I would just suggest that she do, she might even try for 2 weeks doing more of a sort of carnivore-esque type diet where you're just eating meat. So if your wife cooked scrambled eggs and bacon for breakfast or sausage, we might find that that's perfect, but I would skip the pancakes.
Right.
Do they have donut shops on every corner in the Ukraine?
The Ukraine is the wheat, grain, bread, you know, capital of the world. They've got 40 different kinds of donuts, 40 different kinds of bread, all the way from the real dark, you know, rye to, you know, just white bread.
So she is stuck smack dab in the middle of the greatest exposure to starch and grain of all time, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. It's the bread. they called it the breadbasket of the Soviet Union at that time because of the
well, they're almost there again. They're almost part of the Soviet Union again, aren't they?
For all practical purposes, you know, there's a.
How do you feel? How do you feel about that?
There's a fellow up north of them, kind of that's running things that doesn't want them to be, you know, part of the European.
No, he's sure doesn't.
And NATO and all that, so you know.
Okay, so here's just simple suggestions right here. Your daughter is 17, is that correct?
She's 17, yes, sir.
Most likely, she's probably a little bit deficient in what's called zinc and chromium. That's easy to correct. Okay. If she just totally cuts out wheat. The other one, and I've done this for a while, and I'm just going to say some people might actually have what I would call a low-grade hidden food allergy that may be contributing to the immune system not reacting properly. And so on one level, you and I would agree that if somebody's got a staph infection of the skin of the face, that's not an ideal situation. Staph is actually not a good thing to have in the body. But so if we starve the staph out by radically decreasing all sugar and starch, you might actually hit a home run with that. You know what? I'm not so sure. I wouldn't tell her to put aloe vera gel directly on those areas, or raw honey, or an avocado. How does that affect me if her face turns solid green after rubbing an avocado on it? It doesn't affect me at all. That was my attempt at humor this morning.
My father-in-law is a beekeeper, so we can get the honey, we can get propolis, we can get any kind of bee product.
You mean you have a direct connection to the greatest source of raw honey of all time?
Yes, sir. Ukraine is a big bee, you know, big beekeeping country. A lot
of cool.
People.
Well, without the honeybees, we wouldn't have food to eat, would we?
Exactly. So avocado on her face.
Just to nourish it.
Uh-huh.
If I had my way, she would just instantly stop eating all the grain and the sugar. That's just, I mean, if
so
she...
It's internal.
I promise you it's internal.
Her
she's skin.
Working on her face and not working on her...
Yeah, so...
Of it.
Okay, so let's just go back to the immune system just for a second. One of the jobs of the immune system is to be like a very distinctive boundary to protect you. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
And so the immune system is supposed to allow good nutrients, vitamins and minerals, protein, fat, carbohydrates to enter the body because the body can use those to keep the human body strong and healthy. But what if the immune system starts to weaken and it starts letting stuff in like Staphylococcus aureus? And when that starts growing and taking over, and let me tell you the problem here. I know this sounds gross starting the morning, but when staph lives in the body, it's just like any other living organism. It goes tee-tee and poo-poo. I know that sounds horrible on Saturday morning, but it's the waste that it releases. It eats the sugar, and it gives off this horrible waste that's so toxic and so disgusting that the body starts complaining, and that's what her skin's doing. But what I'm trying to say is it's her inner skin, the lining of her, all the mucus-lined membranes from the mouth to the other end of the body, all of her gut, that's what's broken down. And so if she completely avoids all wheat, now, if it's in my experience, this is what I was trying to allude to a while ago. For all I know, maybe she's got a bad reaction to dairy products and the chocolate because she's got a leaky gut. Well, we want to start to repair that. So I might actually do kind of like a modified carnivore. So just eat meat every meal, plenty of it.
Right.
And then maybe add something like low-starch vegetables. That could be everything from broccoli. I wouldn't have a problem with her eating probably sweet potatoes. She could sprinkle all the cinnamon she wants on them. Just leave out the sugar.
Yeah, no sweet potatoes in Ukraine, only the white potatoes.
Oh, no sweet potatoes. Gotcha. Okay.
No. But lots of cabbage.
Okay, well, see, that's right.
Garlic, cabbage.
She can have all the garlic she wants. Garlic is one of the greatest natural antibiotics of all time, isn't it? If you want to heal the gut, garlic is so hard to beat. So if she's not taking fish oil every day or cod liver oil, out of all the things that I could probably mention to her, probably cod liver oil is going to give her a very big bang for the buck.
Okay.
Now, I don't know anything about her physical dimensions. I don't know how much water she drinks. I don't know really what her diet's like. I can guess. But the other thing I want to ask is, how much time does she spend outdoors in the sunshine?
Well, a lot. And she walks a lot. She walks several over there kilometers a day. She's very tall and slim. She's
okay.
Probably almost 6 foot and pretty slim.
Is she taller than you?
No, I'm almost 6'7". Yes, sir.
Well, she's not through growing yet. She could still catch you, right?
Oh, she can catch me. My oldest son has already went past me. I'm 6'6" and a little bit, and he's about 6'7" and a little bit. So.
Well, he passed you by a good inch, right?
Yes, sir.
Well,
but they're tall and slim.
Well, everybody's got their own unique God-given physiology and blueprint, so we're trying to figure out what makes her tick. So if just tell her when you talk to her today, do these things I'm talking about. But my number one concern is, it's not my number one concern, but the easiest, the low-hanging fruit's going to be like chocolate. Does she eat a lot of chocolate?
Chocolate is big in Ukraine. The former president, Poroshenko, his company, Roshan, which is out of the middle of his name, Roshan, is like Hershey's.
Oh, and that's all making sense.
Other company. Oh, it's Ukraine is the chocolate capital of Europe. They ship it everywhere.
Does she have access to stuff like fish?
Oh, fish is very plentiful in Ukraine.
Does she like to go fishing?
Well, if she had time.
She's too busy.
We're a missionary family. We're very busy in our church work.
Well, if you will, look at those things and tell me if that works out for you. But this can all be figured out.
So
if you can lower the blood, if you can lower the sugar and the insulin, you can make the acne go away.
Okay. And build up her immune system.
Yeah, but I would say number one is stop beating the crap out of it with wheat and sugar and chocolate.
Okay.
And see if that
all
works.
Right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Appreciate it.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-589-8507. I really don't know what type of wheat they grow in the Ukraine. Maybe it's the hard wheat, for all I know. That would be kind of different than what the Italians grow. That would be the soft wheat, much easier on the gut. Okay, this is an article that I find very interesting. And without going into just a huge backstory on this, have you ever been around somebody that's been psychotic? Well, I'm trying to think if I was either 12 years old or 13 years old. When we lived in Mesquite, brought into our home or invited. And I don't know the details. I mean, I was a boy. I was 12. I did not concern myself with things like that. I was more interested in how many crawfish could I catch when I went fishing, or was there a big bass, or how long of a shot could I make at the target at Eastfield College when I would shoot my bow and arrow. But anyway, so I don't know the details, but we took in a foreign exchange student. I'll just say that her name was Vera, okay? And so this foreign exchange student, she was from Brazil. So she spoke English, I'm not going to say fluently, but, you know, enough to where I could make out what she was saying. And she and my sister, they became best of friends. And here's the point I'm getting to. One day, I don't remember the timing of it, but she pretty much had a psychotic meltdown. She was running around screaming. I mean, we're talking about a very, very acute psychotic event. I didn't know how to process that. I was 12 years old. She was seeing things, hallucinating. I have no idea what that brought that on. I mean, kind of today I have a better idea, but back then I had no idea what triggered that. I just remember my mother trying to soothe her and console her. And so I'm sure it was a lot of factors. Maybe it was the stress of being away from her family in Brazil. Maybe it was the stress of coming to America and having a different set of values or a culture. I don't know. There's got to be something. Maybe it was a different diet. Maybe there's a lot of those things. But I just remember that's probably my first experience with a person screaming bloody murder. And you could not get them to stop screaming and seeing things and saying bizarre stuff. I don't think I've heard a human being talk so fast in my entire life. Anyway, enough of that. I'm just saying that that's probably my first experience noticing somebody. So anyway, I came across this article right here that I found very interesting. So when Vera lived with us, I can't remember, maybe she was a junior or a senior in high school. That was at North Mesquite High School, by the way. So let's just say she was 17 or 18 at the time. But then again, what 12-year-old boy is smart enough to know all that stuff? Are you kidding? I think I was like, how old was I before my brain fully developed? I think it's 60. I'm joking. Anyway, so I came across this article right here that really piqued my interest. And I realize this may not be directly relevant to you right now, but it might be relevant for somebody you know. Okay, so I think it's good to have knowledge. That's what I'm really into. How can we help each other out? How can we spread knowledge where everybody benefits? All right. Fish oil offers protection against psychoses. That caught my attention. And I think the abstract statement says fish oil protects for up to 7 years against psychoses. So I thought, okay, I'm going to read that. So they had a group of psychiatrists at the Medical University of Vienna, okay, a couple of years ago. When they say a couple of years ago, I think it's 2015, which they gave young people at risk for developing psychosis fish oil capsules for 12 weeks. That's all they did. If I'm not mistaken, they gave them like four gel caps, you know, the big gel caps, the big honking ones that contain probably cod liver oil. And then they did a follow. They contacted all these people that had the potential to be psychotic 7 years later. And lo and behold, they discovered that there was still a tremendous protective effect for the people that had took fish oil for 12 weeks. And I thought, no, that's how could that be? Okay, this comes from 2015. The article itself is called Long-Term Outcome in the Prevention of Psychotic Disorders by the Vienna Omega-3 Study. That's the title of the article. It's published the 26th of November, 2014. And what's the journal name? I don't know. It was published August the 11th, 2015. I can't find the journal name. Okay, so that's like 10 years ago, all right? So researchers performed an experiment with 81 young people. What was the age, you ask? 13 to 25. Vera would have fit into that age category. She's probably 17. All of whom had a high risk of having a psychotic episode. Every single one of them, all 81 of them, they showed early symptoms of psychoses. Okay, we'll leave it at that. So half of the subjects were given a placebo, which means there was no fish oil in it. The other half was given, well, it says here, four capsules of fish oil a day. So if you buy fish oil, we're talking about those big gelatin oil-filled capsules. The subjects in the group that had been given fish oil had less frequent psychotic episodes than the subjects in the placebo group. Okay. All right, here it is right here. I found it. Sometimes I don't find these things as fast as I want. Forgive me. 5 years after they did this, the researchers published a follow-up study in the journal Nature Communications, in which they looked at how the subjects were doing 6 to 7 years later. We'll just say 7 to round it up. They discovered that there was this protective effect of the fish oil supplementation. It was still in place. Even though they only took the fish oil for 12 weeks, it still gave them superior protection against developing psychoses. Does that make sense? I've got the chart right here. You can't read it. I can. I'm telling you, it's amazing. They used all these questionnaires anyway. This is really what I wanted to read to you. Now, I don't know if this is going to mean much to you, but to me, I always find it interesting to figure out how things work. Okay, so they did an animal study. I know this is not what you want to hear because it's kind of cruel, but they deprived the animals of omega-3 fatty acids. That's what you find in fish oil or cod liver oil. And they noticed that when they didn't give them omega-3 fatty acids, they had a much higher activity of an enzyme in the brain. It's called tyrosine hydroxylase. Basically, what that means is you're going to get this increased production of a substance called dopamine. If you want to call dopamine a neurotransmitter, if you want to call it a hormone, if you want to say it's a powerful chemical that your body produces, I'm going to say, yeah. Well, here's the problem. It's like anything else. What if you had a plant? And I said, does your plant do better when you give it water to drink? Well, of course. I mean, whatever plants you have in the house, maybe it's an aloe vera, maybe it's a peace lily, maybe you have an ivy. All these things grow really well indoors. But they require water. What is going to happen, even to the aloe vera plant, if you don't give it water? It's going to die. But you know where I'm going with this. I'm going to say, what happens when you overwater a plant? Well, it's going to drown and die. Does that make sense? So here's what I'm trying to say. A little bit of dopamine is good, but too much, that's what usually leads to a psychotic event, okay? It says individuals, and I'm just quoting the researchers here, individuals at ultra-high risk for psychoses, they have high dorsal striatal dopamine levels. That means they got a boatload of dopamine in their brain. Something about omega-3 fatty acids, it reduces that conversion at subjects at risk for psychoses by preventing excess dopamine buildup. You mean to tell me that omega-3 fatty acid or fish oil might actually be food for the brain? Yeah. So here's the next thing. Here's what I typed into my phone a while ago. Here it is right here. I asked the question, does sugar increase dopamine levels of the brain? And I think you know where I'm going with this. So if people don't behave in a controlled fashion, see, when you have too much dopamine, you got no self-control. You become aggressive, angry, you can go bonkers, like Vera, the woman I'm telling you about. So, lo and behold, when you consume refined sugar, that causes a huge surge of dopamine. Now, just so we're on the same page, like anything else, there's a Goldilocks just right expression of dopamine. But what happens if there's too little dopamine production in the body? Well, this is when you feel tired all the time. If you ask a person, do you feel lethargic? They're going to go, yeah. I'm laying on the couch, aren't I? They have a lack of motivation. You know, on one level, you've got to have enough of the neurotransmitter dopamine to express motivation, ambition, desire, you know, wanting to do stuff. So maybe this would be like a good thought if you know somebody, a human being, that's tired all the time, and they're just exhausted, and they have a lack of motivation. They don't really want to do anything with their life. And so what happens if you have way too much dopamine? Well, you can't control yourself. You're totally out of control. You become very aggressive. I think I know a person. I'm not going to say I go to church with him, but anyway. So then I typed in the question, what about nicotine? Actually, what I typed in was vaping. What does vaping do to dopamine levels in the brain? Because, you know, they put a boatload of nicotine in the vaping. I know what I'm saying is going to offend a whole bunch of people. That's not my intent. My intent is to give you information and knowledge so you can think about this and let it roll around in your brain and decide what you want to do with your life and if you want to help yourself or not. Now, the bottom line is, let me explain this right here. I think this is going to hit home for almost everybody. So let's just say you wake up in the morning and you feel tired and sluggish, and so what you do is you pull into the drive of one of these coffee shops and you get a coffee that's basically a, I have patients that do this for a living, so they've told me how it works, but I've asked them, I said, okay, what does this group of people order right here? And of course, I'm not going to say that because it's going to sound like I'm picking on one group of people. So I said, what do white women order? Now you know. And they said the highest sugar, the highest caffeine, energy drinks that we sell. I don't know anything about an extra dose of cappuccino or whatever they add to it. Not cappuccino. What's the word? They take a shot of espresso. That's what I was searching for. I've never done that before, but I'm sure there's lots of people that have. And so what happens when you feel tired, exhausted, you're not motivated, you don't want to wake up? Oh boy, you take one of those coffees full of sugar and all that caffeine and espresso and everything else, instantly you feel better. You know as well as I do, there's no way that you can take that sugar from the coffee and get it into the mitochondria where you can produce energy in 10 seconds. That's impossible. My point is, when you have a boatload of sugar and a boatload of caffeine and other chemicals, that's going to rapidly increase dopamine so you feel better. Or if you look at the Snickers commercial on television, they talk about somebody that's, you know, not themselves, and they eat a Snickers and all of a sudden they feel like $1 million 2 seconds later. That's not because it's giving them energy. It's because it's causing a surge in dopamine. So you feel tired. You're down emotionally. You're weak. You might even be a little bit shaky, and you eat like some sugared up high caffeine energy drink, and bam, you feel good. Well, that's a dopamine. You got that? All right. The problem is, if you have way too much dopamine, that's responsible for making a person pretty aggressive, and they just can't control themselves. Well, that's why I'm reading this about fish oil. I'm sure all of us know somebody that would probably fit that category. What if it's just as simple as, why don't we start giving the body the very thing it needs and avoid the very things that are toxic? Man, I see, what is the box that I read the other day? They said the box was guaranteed on the vaping device to have 5,000 puffs on it. Do I have any first-hand experience? No, I sure don't. And I'm not going to do that. But I see people that literally go through one of those entire cartridges and they're back later in the day to buy another one at the store. Not my store. Anyway, if you want to join me on the air this morning, there's a phone line open. I just looked at the clock. It's almost 15 till. I'm so sorry. I probably talked way too much. But I'm going to err on the side of trying to educate and help and encourage. And so fish oil may end up being like a superfood for the brain. Yep, that's what I'm going to say today. Fish oil is a superfood for the brain. Keeps you from going bonkers. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Real quick, I wanted to find out, well, I heard someone, without going into political issues, I heard be talking about the chronic illnesses we have in the United States, and some of the things absolutely shocked me.
Oh, man, it should shock every one of us. You're right.
Absolutely. It was just anyway, I don't want to go down that vein as much as that's where I was starting to hear and think about some of these vaccines, so-called vaccines. And I was talking to my sister, and she asked me, hey, ask them next time you can what he thinks about shingles vaccines as well as RSV vaccine.
I can't even tell you how many people I've seen get the shingles vaccine, and bam, they got the worst case of shingles, and they never had it before. All at the same time. Well, I mean, okay. I'm sorry. How about within 2 weeks?
No, I get it. I understand.
So that may not be a direct answer, but in the real world, you and I have two ears, two eyes, a mouth and a nose, and one brain, and so we can observe things. And I always find that shocking when somebody gets a vaccine and all of a sudden they've got the very thing that they got the vaccine to protect them against getting. It just doesn't make logical sense. I know what I'm into. I'm into natural immunity, which means you make a concerted effort to take good care of yourself so your immune system has every chance to keep you alive and well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's right. So what about some people call it the pneumonia vaccine, some people call it RSV. My sons were premature in the area. Their lungs might have been compromised, so we had to give them RSV shots when they were just little guys. And in regards, you see it on TV right now, you know, make sure you get your RSV vaccine.
Are those the two things that you want me to make a comment on, the pneumonia vaccine and RSV?
If you don't mind, I mean, I always...
Well, can I ask a small favor of you? I think you're asking a very, very good question. It doesn't bother me at all. But I don't have the knowledge on those two things as far as the true numbers. So can I do a little bit of research and just ask questions and read and study to see what I can come up with?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Can I come back next week and try to deliver that info to you?
That would be wonderful. I have a suspicion but I wanted to get this information. My sister from Iowa asked about it. So nonetheless.
Oh, wait, what's your suspicion concerning now?
Well, the suspicion was basically, well, we had a sister who we love, but she's the one that we could not go and see my father until we all got the COVID.
Oh, so she was like very strong, like nobody's getting near dad unless you get 1 million vaccines, that sort of deal?
Sort of, but that's not the one who's asking this question because she thinks she knows everything as a nurse.
Wait a second. Did you say she knows everything or did you say she thinks she knows everything?
Okay.
Now, I know, I'm joking. But it was another sister that said, is this really correct and true what she's saying?
Well, in regards, yes. She's the caretaker. My sister that's the nurse is my caretaker of my 92-year-old father. And,
yeah.
Oh, you need to get this. You need to get that. You need to... And my other sister and I want to give her some additional... ideas.
Yeah, like is there a counter argument to what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's I think that's fine. Yeah, let me look into it, and that way I can speak with a little bit better knowledge because I can look at the studies and the stats.
Yeah, but great.
And I don't mean to be rude by saying this, but that's probably absolutely one of the very best ways that we can leave the earth is to develop pneumonia and just stop breathing in the middle of the night. I know that's not what anybody wants to hear, but historically, that's the number one taker of a human being's life as long as the planet's been in effect.
Okay.
Is pneumonia. Pneumonia is called the older person's best friend. I don't mean it in a bad way. I just mean when they're at the very end. And so, yeah, and I can tell you one or two opinions that I have. If we were to look at what would be the success of people that have had the COVID vaccine versus people that it did not. And the people that did not, what if we had a subgroup of people that said, I actively want to take full responsibility for my health and do what I think is best for my immune system. So they may be into exercise. They might be into being outdoors in the sun. They might have clean, good, wholesome thoughts. Maybe they read their Bible, so they're wanting to do good things that God set before them. Maybe they take supplements. Maybe they avoid sugar and junk food where they can have a strong immune system. I can tell you right now, there is an explosion of cancer like never before. We've never seen it. If you want to call it a turbo cancer, I can't argue with that. But it's one of the greatest disasters that I've ever seen. You could literally, do you attend a church where they make announcements and they talk about people that are sick so you can pray for them?
Yes, but well, actually, yes, go ahead.
And that's really all I'm after is you can pretty much just listen to the announcements at church, and when they say this person has cancer, well, it's not without, you know, just the reasonable asking of questions. Did they get the COVID vaccine? And you don't have to be a genius to figure out the ones that got the COVID vaccine are the ones getting the cancer or an autoimmune problem. So I think you could probably make that correlation. I'm not trying to be judgmental.
No, I understand.
Anyway.
Well, so there's a book out in regards to the same gentleman that I referenced earlier that's, oh, man, it's actually criminal what happened to America.
Yes, it is.
But you know, I know it sounds like I'm trying to go down a certain area.
Well, I want you to. You're fine by me if you do.
Well,
it is criminal. We have such beautiful children in our country, and they are doing nothing to prevent the complete destruction and annihilation of radiant, beautiful, healthy children and adults. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's currently, I've read so many different surveys. You just take your pick on which one you want to hear. 220 million Americans right now have chronic health problems. Chronic health problems. That means they're not well. That's like the vast majority. 50% of all adults walking around have chronically high blood pressure, which is from high insulin levels and other garbage like that. And I think it's 93% of all adults past the age of 50, they're sick and they have a chronic disease. They do.
Well, referencing this same gentleman, as I watched his talk, 22% of children or youth 25 and under in the state of California, 22% have some sort of autism.
It's just astronomical. It's horrible.
That's one out of five. He said 60% of our military-aged people, population men, 60% could not pass a military physical.
Oh, no. If we went to war right now, we couldn't find anybody.
And
nobody would be qualified.
They
would.
They keep dragging this down, but I'm trying to say that.
Yeah.
If what he said was absolutely had any truth to it, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking what has been happening to us, and the maintaining, not trying to help, but just maintaining people, our medical industry should be ashamed as well.
Yeah, all they're doing is they're maintaining them until they can get the next surgery or the next procedure or the next drug trial. I tell you, I've seen things in this last year that just totally disturbed me, and I'll tell you one of them, but I'm going to kind of not really say it. Let's just say that currently here in East Texas, we have new research facilities where the whole purpose is to put people on experimental drugs that make them so sick. It's just disgusting and unbelievable, all for one reason, for money. Anyway.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you're bringing all those points out. But on the flip side, to be positive,
yes,
I think we need to remind everyone that we still have the right to choose what you're going to put in your mouth and what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I'm not trying to stop a person that says, Dr. Morgan, I'm in love with getting vaccines and pharmaceuticals. That's what I want to do. Well, I have to let them make their choice, right? Don't you?
I understand. And you know, one of the crazy things about it, because of every single one of the booster shots, my father, my parents were strongly encouraged to take, each time they became sick afterwards.
Oh my goodness.
And, and he, anyway, he's a very healthy gentleman. I'm just really, he's an inspiration for his health, even though I think he's getting bad advice more times than not from his own sibling. But,
yeah.
I mean, his own offspring, I'm sorry, my sibling.
Well, that's the way that people are. They have strong opinions about things, and sometimes they have strong opinions about things they know nothing of. they just believe it because they heard it from somewhere, right?
Yes. You know, if I can, I'm going to make, this is not, I want to encourage all the listeners to just register and vote. I'm not saying who to vote for. I'm just saying, please go and vote. Our country is in dire need, and we don't really even realize it, how much we need to be. We need to go and just pray about our country. We need a revival. We need a lot of different things, but honestly, what you just said about in the last year, people taking these experimental drugs, it's, we have to do something with God's help and with God.
That's right.
Possible. One of the things we all can do is just exercise our one liberty that we do have abilities to do. And more than 50% of Christians do not go and vote because they don't think it makes any difference. I want to say, just go vote. I happen to be an election poll worker.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was going to say is this. When people don't vote, somehow or another, and I'm not an expert on this, I've seen it where people get, they do come in to vote, and then they find out someone's already voted for them. And I guess what I'm getting to, I know it sounds like it's hard to believe, but...
Well, you're a poll worker. You would know.
Well, I'm not trying to cause hysteria. I'm trying to create...
No, everybody's calm that's listening to you.
If everyone voted, they would find that, wait a second, how could have someone else voted for me so we can scrub the rolls and other things of that nature? And we're trying to do the best we can. And I just want to say that as a Christian, please just go and do this thing. I'm very passionate about that.
Well, as a poll worker, you can only do your job, right?
Yes, sir.
I think the latest stat that I read said 40 million Christians did not vote in the last election.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Wow, that's a pretty scary... That's exactly what you're talking about right now, trying to encourage people to be active and do their duty.
Well, we live in a great country that God created, and I know He has greater purpose for us, if nothing else, to help protect some of our allies, and I won't go that direction either, but the point is that
Amen.
I just believe in our country. I love our country, and this is one thing that people can do.
Hey, let me ask you a simple question, because we got about 10 seconds left. Would you be in favor of the next administration outlawing all food dyes, food chemicals,
yes,
toxic preservatives, all the hormones and the crap they put in meat? How about spraying Roundup on everything that we eat? Are you in favor of getting rid of all that?
Yes, and there's a person that is going to be in the next administration, if we can vote that in.
Oh, maybe
we'll do that.
Man, this sounds very positive. Thank you so much for your phone call. We're completely out of time.
God bless you.
I really appreciate you, buddy.
I appreciate you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.